The title of my message is taken from Amos chapter 7, verses 1 to 8, more specifically verses 7 and 8. And I would like to use the spirit level measuring tool as a way of visually showing the plumb line. The book of Amos is on the prophecies that God gave Amos to deliver to the king of Israel, the northern kingdom. Amos, however, is from the southern kingdom. He's a sheep breeder and takes care of sycamore fruit. He is not a prophet. He is not trained as one. He travels to Bethel, where the king of Israel is, and delivers the words of God. Amos has no pretensions of his status. He is an example of a person who has allowed God to use him regardless. We can only imagine the struggles that Amos has in doing this prophet job, something totally different from what he normally does. Amos has five visions, and the first three visions are in the key reference scripture that I've given you. While the judgments in these visions have happened, there is still ongoing prophecy in the fourth and fifth visions that he has concerning believers from both Jewish and non-Jewish background coming together as one before God. But our focus is on the first three visions in Amos chapter 7. Why do we talk about judgment? It sounds so negative. However, God has a purpose for us to learn from Amos. We do not want to be foolish and ignore it, like burying your head in the sand. Psalms 19 verse 4 says, "Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun." What is this line? The Hebrew word meaning for this is a measuring line. In this, there is a measuring that God will do. God will judge. It is important to see how God judges and to view it in a positive way so that we can learn how we should live our lives God's way, so that we are prepared to meet God. Amos 4:12 says, "Prepare to meet your God, O Israel, so that we do not take his love and mercy for granted." Years ago, when I shared on the difference between Jesus who came about 2,000 years ago and he's coming again, one person remarked, he said, "I am done for." This is true. All of us are done for. All of us have sinned and would face the judgment of eternity being separated from a holy God. We would end up in the lake of fire and brimstone. The good news is that Jesus came to take our sins on the cross. We can receive the gift of salvation when we accept what Jesus has done for us and turn to follow Jesus as our Lord and Savior. This salvation begins with a confession and a prayer before God. For those people who do not know Jesus Christ, you can go to the website www.needcom.com for further materials on what it is to be a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. And you can also go to the Evangel website, www.evangel.org.au, for resources and contacts. Once we become true believers and followers of Christ, the judgment of sin at the cross of Jesus Christ will not apply for believers. However, we now live our lives in Christ by the favor and the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us. It is how we live that we will be measured on. So let us begin. In Amos chapter 7, verses 1 to 6, it says, "Thus the Lord God showed me, behold, he formed locust swarms at the beginning of the late crop. Indeed, it was the late crop after the king's mowing, and so it was when they had finished eating the grass of the land that I said, 'O Lord God, forgive, I pray. Oh, that Jacob may stand, for he is small. So the Lord relented this. It shall not be, said the Lord. Thus the Lord showed me. Behold, the Lord called for conflict by fire, and it has consumed the great deep and devoured the territory. Then I said, O Lord God, cease, I pray. Oh, that Jacob may stand, for he is small. So the Lord relented concerning this. This also shall not be, said the Lord God. In summary, Amos sees the vision of God's judgment on Israel with locusts and then fire. Amos pleads with God, and God relents. These judgments did not take place. So here we see that the God we serve is not like other gods. He's not a vengeful, he's not a forever angry God. Our God is one of mercy and love. His goodness is there for us to change and come to him. When judgment falls, it is always when every avenue from God has been expanded. This brings us to a very important point. And the first point I have is, God's mercy is new every day. Now, here's the point. No judgment does not mean there was no mercy. Because I do not see the judgment, I tend to forget God's mercy. And so I become confident, prideful, and no sense of gratefulness towards God. It is only when I narrowly see how I've missed, when I see how I've narrowly missed being in a car accident, severe illness, or escaped narrowly from a catastrophe, that is when I praise and thank God. I can take many things for granted. There is also the other situation where judgment takes place much later. Because judgment is delayed, that does not mean that everything going on in my life is good with God. I may know that I am behaving badly and unjustly with others. Because there does not seem to be any discipline or correction from God, I may start thinking, hey, it is okay, it is acceptable, and continue with it. Yet, when I sense the Holy Spirit nudging and speaking to me, I can ignore it, and yet nothing happens. And this leads me to a very false conclusion. Everything is still going good. In reality, it is me abusing the goodness and mercy of God. Romans 2 verse 4 says, or do you despise the richness of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Let's have a grateful and thankful spirit. Let's not take mercy for granted, but change whenever the Holy Spirit shows what is lacking. None of us are exempted from this. Let's declare. God, Father God, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we will be people knowing the mercy of God is real and given to us to change from faith to faith. We will always thank God for his mercy every day. Amen. Let's consider now the third vision that Amos has. In Amos chapter 7, verse 7 to 8, it says, thus he showed me, behold, the Lord stood on wall made with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line to judge in the midst of my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. So here we have got using a plumb line to judge. What is a plumb line? The plumb line is basically a string and a weight attached to it. The modern equivalent of it is a spirit level. When you set this on a wall, you can then measure how straight the wall is. But what is this line and weight? Israel, Isaiah 28 verse 17 says, "Also I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plummet. The hail will sweep away the refuge of lies and the waters will overflow the hiding place." Justice and righteousness. Both of these deal with how we behave, act, and relate to others. God is measuring the straightness of the wall built. Nothing else. Not how big, how wide, how strong, but how straight the wall is. In a sense, is this wall, my life, an upright one? The wall has been made with a plumb line, but now God is using His plumb line to confirm the straightness of it. Therefore, the second point is this. Point number two, there is a straightness check on my life. I would like to use Amos 1 and 2 to see how that is shown. In Amos chapter 1 and 2, there is a falling praise that is mentioned 7 times. For 3 transgressions and 4. What are the 3 transgressions and 4? This is like saying, this is the last straw. God is telling us that the transgressions have gone past the breaking point. He's now stepping in. A transgression. A transgression is anything that is against the law or command. When I take advantage of the poor and needy, this is a transgression. Psalms 82 verse 3 says, "Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy." When I fail to do my duty, this is a transgression. When we look at God's judgment on those 7 nations in Amos chapter 1 and 2, we find that to a large extent, it was on how they treated the people without mercy, taking advantage of the people, treating them as slaves, selling them, taking advantage of their vulnerable situation and looking the other way and not stepping in to help. While there are specifics in what the different transgressions are, I would like to focus on one of the key root issues. These nations were neighbors to Israel and for some have common heritage going back in time. Edom, Amnon, Ammon and Moab were related to Israel through Esau and Lot, respectively, in the book of Genesis. Tai had an agreement with Israel during the time of King David and Solomon. The actions and lack of actions of these nations showed that they were not what I would call or term brothers keepers. We may not be dealing with slavery now, but it may be the way we treat people these days. Do we treat them as commodities, as resources, as a means to achieve something? Or do we view the person as a person? Amos chapter 1 verse 9 says, "Tyre did not remember the covenant of brotherhood." Brotherhood. Why is this important to God? It is one of the keys to show that God's love is in us. It is a testimony and witness we have to those who have yet to believe in Jesus Christ. Let me illustrate this with 2 accounts in the Bible. The first is from Genesis chapter 4, where many of us would know about the account of the two brothers, Cain and Abel. Both of them offered offerings to God. God respected Abel's offering, but not Cain. He spoke to Cain and said, "Don't be angry. Do well instead. Sin is waiting to enter in, and if you do not let go." Later, when Cain was talking with Abel in the field, anger got a better part of him, and he killed Abel. I believe that Cain hit the body. As they say in police stories, no body, how to prove a murder has taken place? But of course, we all know that God knows. So when God came to Cain and asked him where Abel was, it was in defiance when Cain answered, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Let's put aside the offerings, which was where the account started with. Was Cain issue with Abel, or was it with God? When I was younger, I remember how when Abel Christians came and told me, "Brother Chris, you have an issue with God." That made me so frustrated. Of course, it is all me and God. And time again, when it came down to it, I had to deal with the things, the gaps that I had with God that was affecting my relationships with others. Here's an interesting question. Did Cain kill God? I might want to propose and suggest to you, in a way, he did. When Cain rose up on Abel, it was like rising up against God. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. Let's look at the second account of how brother keeper was maintained in Genesis chapter 14. This is the account of how Lot, Abraham's nephew, and his family was taken captive in the war between the kings of Sinar, Elazar, Elam, and Tidal, and the kings of Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim, and Bela. Let's not get too complicated with the names, but they were the kings that came down from the north to the south. The southern kings were under subjection to the northern one, but they rebelled. And so the northern kings came down to push to get things right, to stop the rebellion and bring them back into subjection. So the northern kings came down, sweeping down to the south. And along the way, they fought with many other city nations downwards. They came to the south, they overthrew the southern kings, and in the process, took Lot and his family as captives. When Abraham found out what had happened, he did not hesitate, but went on a rescue mission with 318 trained servants and three of his Amorite friends, Anna, Eshcol, and Mamre. Now, these three friends were allies with Abraham. They had a covenant with Abraham. The Hebrew word of the ally word is berith, which has the connotations of covenant. So think about it. Abraham with 300 odd people against four kings. There's no mention of the size of the four kings, but it would definitely be bigger than that Abraham's group. 300 and odd people against an army that has been winning wars all the way coming down south. They have been experienced in battle. They have fought against city nations along the way that we know are famous for giants. Perhaps these kings were not expecting a night attack from Abraham. But the result was Abraham won and rescued Lot and all the people. Well, we can say, Abraham, it is right for you to go and save Lot. But what about those three Amorite guys? What do they have? They have no direct relationship with Lot. They could lose their lives in the fight. This could affect their families. Imagine what these three people would say to their families before setting out. Oh, I'm going with Abraham to recover Lot. Where are you doing? Why are you bringing all your swords? Oh, it just might be a bit of a thing that we might have to deal with. Who are you dealing with? Oh, just four kings, great army, very well trained. You think their families would easily let these three men go? They went because of a covenant with Abraham. They were brother keeper. How much of a brother keeper am I? Am I willing to lose my life for a brother? We are brother keepers. We are brother keepers. Let's declare. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that in our lives, we will be brother keepers. We will care for our relationship with one another just as we care for our relationship with you. We thank you. Lord, release that grace to us, even as we keep our brothers. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's look now at the third point. And here I'm talking about a level check on my life. The level check being the balance check. In Amos chapter 4, verses 4 to 5, and Amos 5, 21 to 23, the people were performing the morning sacrifice, giving tithes, offering sacrifices of thanksgiving, free will, gatherings at the sacred assemblies, worshipping with songs and melody. What a wonderful people these are. They are doing all the things that God has told them to do. And some of this, we would have said, brings delight to God. But God said to them, I find your gatherings detestable. I will not accept the offerings. I treat your songs and melody as noise. Wow. Was it the doing out of routine or religion that made God say this? God saw the people ministering to him. However, he didn't see them living their lives righteously and justly. They are not seeking or doing good to people that they live with. Proverbs 21 verse 3 says, to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to God than sacrifice. This is similar to the verse in 1 Samuel 15:22 that says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. And it is this that God is telling the people, obey me in the way you live. He has been warning them through disasters, weather patterns, plagues, diseases, calamities. Yet this has not gotten through to the people. People have not seen through what those messages meant and have carried on as usual. When those disasters passed by and were complete, it was like, phew, great, it is over. Let's get back to doing the same as before. Four times in Amos chapter 5, God says, yet you have not returned to me. Let's be clear about this, that by no means am I saying that tithing, worship, gathering together in Christ is to be minimized or done with. The point is, let us do it not out of religion or routine, or the only thing that is of importance. faith in Christ is also in the way we live and behave in justice and righteousness with others. In Amos 5:4 and 6, it says, "Seek me and live." Then further down in Amos 5:14, it says, "Seek good and not evil, that you may live, so that the Lord God of hosts will be with you." Then Amos 5:24 says, "But let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream." There is a river that is spoken of in Revelation 22 verse 1 that proceeds from the throne of God, a river of the water of life. Here is what Chuck Swindoll says in summary. Injustice permeates our world. Yet, as Christians, we often turn a blind eye to the suffering of others for more important work, like praying, preaching, and teaching. But the book of Amos reminds us that those works, while unquestionably central to a believer's life, ring hollow when we don't love and serve others in our lives. Do you find yourself falling that trap at times, prioritizing prayer over service? The prophecy of Amos should simplify the choices in our lives. Instead of choosing between prayer and service, the book of Amos teaches us that both are essential. God has called Christians not only to be in a relationship with Him, but also in relationship with others. For those Christians whose tendency has been to focus more on the invisible God than on His visible creation, Amos pulls us back toward the center, where both the physical and the natural spiritual needs of people matter in God's scheme of things. Using the spirit level, you will find that the level is balanced. God's ministry and seeking and loving good. One more than the other is in balance. We have the straightness with God vertically and the balance with people horizontally. Righteousness is given to us when we receive Christ as our Lord and we live it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Righteous living comes out by the power of the Holy Spirit, not through legalistic way of doing things, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's run through these points again. God's mercy is new every day. I will not take it for granted. There's a strictness check on my life. There's a level check on my life. Let my life be a blessing. Amos 5:24. Let justice run down like river, like water, and righteousness like a mighty stream. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare that your mercy is new every day. Your mercy and your goodness leads us to change. Your mercy and goodness leads us to more faith, from faith to faith. Lord, we know that you are testing and will be checking the straightness of our life. Let our lives be a straight one and an upright one. Let us be brother keepers. Let us, Lord, be a balanced person. That is not just ministry unto you, but ministry that will flow right out of us. Justice and righteousness running out of us like a mighty stream by the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you and we bless you this day in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you.